I'm annoying myself. Oh, we got plenty of those. You've been brilliant on the sit sound tonight. I'll be wrapping all of that up very soon, but I also need your help to track down the international man of mystery that is Andy Marsak. I got a couple of clues. I haven't seen these yet. Man himself, in 20 minutes, he'll be here for the full travel log. Here is clue number one for him. I'm in a maritime province that has two official languages, English and French. It also has a giant bay famous for its twice-a-day tidal changes from heights of over 50 feet to the ocean floor every 12 hours. That is 115 billion tons of water entering and leaving twice a day. Whoa! Maritime province, two official languages, French and English, also a giant bay, twice-a-day tidal changes. From over 50 feet to the ocean floor every 12 hours, 115 billion tons of water. So, wherever it is, I imagine it's on the large side. On the large side. Where do you think he could be? French and English. That narrows it down, sort of, doesn't it, to certain spots? Could be Canada. Could be North Africa. Could be around North Africa. Other than that, I've got no ideas. Maybe you know the answer. 81333RUSS. 0800 389 3333. Candy Staten in a moment. Here are the Lars on your BBC. Young Hearts Run Free. Hi to Pam and the Louth Bunch. Hi again, Crunch. Hello. I think Andy's in New Brunswick. Right, okay. That's sort of it's that side, isn't it, of Canada. Is Andy on Oak Island off Nova Scotia? Says Malcolm. He may well be. Still looking for a bit more on this one. Where in the world is Andy Marsak? Colin in Bournemouth. Two languages and a high tidal range. Sounds like he's in Canada on the Bay of Fundy. The Bay of Fundy. Sean in Flockton, the Bay of Fundy. Bay of Fundy. Trevor in Leeds also saying the Bay of Fundy here. I mean, this... I always go with the weight of popular opinion. You know me. The Bay of Fundy, it'd be a completely new one on me. Still, though, it's the French and the English thing that did it for me. A huge tidal range, a massive bay. So I'm thinking, well, what's got the real estate? It's either the continents of North America or Africa have that kind of space where you would have a natural phenomenon like that. Bay of Fundy. Well, you live and learn. Every day is a school day, don't you? We'll see if the second clue bears that out. Just the other side of the headlines, I'll get the second clue on for you. Keith. Hello, Keith. In Rotherham. Sends me a note here. Let's have a look. Guernsey? It could be Guernsey. Stranger thing. I haven't been there in years myself. Meanwhile, on the sit sound, in about 10 minutes, the man himself will be here. Got music from the Pet Shop Boys next and Dr. Rook. And then it'll be time for Andy Marsak. So we've had one of the clues, and it appears that the consensus from the early clue is pointing to the Bay of Fundy in Canada, which is where he is, and lots of recommendations for it. There's also an email here, I'll just read this very quickly, from Dale in Batley, saying, I'm not so sure about the 50 feet, but I think the highest tidal variation in the world is in Canada at the Bay of Fundy in Nova Scotia. I remember this from looking up the tidal flows at Arnside in Cumbria. Not so spectacular, but amazing to watch all the same. Thank you, Dale. Let's get clue number two and maybe this will cement it for us. Here it is. This province was once home to Donald Sutherland and the movie magnate Louis B. Mayer. While Franklin D. Roosevelt had his summer home on one of the neighbouring islands and used it as a family home for 56 years. So the province was once home to Donald Sutherland and Louis B. Mayer, while Franklin D. Roosevelt had his summer home on one of the neighbouring islands. Has that cemented it then as the Bay of Fundy? About 20 past 11 and Andy will be here. 81333RUSS. I'm prepared to go with you on this. You've never sent me to the wrong place before. Here on the BBC, Dr. Rook, when you're in love with a beautiful woman, be on in a minute. Oh, what a gorgeous song. And then Andy will be on. I think we're settled on the Bay of Fundy. Every day's a Fundy. Can't wait to find out. I'd love to go. If it's where we think it is, love to go. Part of the world. I've never been to that bit of the world. I'd love to go. In love with a beautiful woman. So you might have noticed if you join me at 11, no early clues tonight for the mystery here, the half hour of power. No early clues because it's one of those wonderful Thursdays where we have a catch-up with our international man of mystery. They seek him here, they seek him there, of course. Take your jabs, check your passport. It's time to say, good evening, Andy Mossack.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy, my friend. You all right?
I'm absolutely brilliant, thank you very much, yeah. And what a turnout. What a turnout.
What a turnout.
The Bay of Fundy, eh?
Yeah, Bay of Fundy. That's where we all pointed towards, so I take it we are right in this, yes?
Top left-hand corner, my friend. Yes, indeed.
Top left-hand corner. So are you, I mean, you can't be in the whole bay. Is there a specific sort of place that you are? Or are you just floating? No, are you on a dinghy?
I've done that before. I'm actually in New Brunswick. And it's the east coast of Canada, yeah, on the Maritimes. And I'm actually in a lovely town called St. Andrew, a bit like a Scottish theme, really, because, you know, the Maritimes are, there's three of them. There's New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a Scottish theme here because there's so many kind of, obviously, the Scottish immigrants from back in the day. And it is Aberdeen here, Balmoral, Perth. And where I am in the Algonquin is beautiful St. Andrews. And that was named after, obviously, the same thing, St. Andrews, as it is in Bonnie, Scotland. And it's fantastic, Russ. You know, this if you're into the great outdoors, New Brunswick and its islands has got it all. It's really, you know, I was here about 10 years ago just to see the Bay of Fundy, actually. But now I've sort of had a good look and toured down, been on the islands, and it's a brilliant thing. What a great – this thing is just incredible. But I love this bilingual thing. Have you sort of ever witnessed any Canadian French?
No, I haven't. All I know is from occasionally doing it as a clue in the mystery year when they had the referendum to see whether what language was going to be adopted or whether they wanted to be part of this. I've never been an experience, you know, that bit of Canada, but I must admit, it looks on television like absolutely beautiful. So, I mean, how does it work in reality, the sort of the dual language system there?
Well, I was talking to a French speaker, and he was saying to me that when the French come, the actual French come over on holiday, the guys here have a good laugh with them because they can't understand a word of it because it's old French they speak. So it's a bit like Captain Poldark English, you know.
I say, yeah.
Forsooth, I say, you know, all that. You know, so when the French come over speaking modern French, they always wind them up. It's very funny, actually. So it is completely different. But and Quebec is very similar, obviously. But here, Nova Scotia is probably, I don't know, 60-40, 60 English, 60% English, 40% French. But they speak both, obviously. And and a lot, I don't know if you've been to Canada, but a lot of people think it's a bit of a US clone, you know, but it's nothing like the US. It's completely different. And it is, you know, they take the best of the USA, the UK, for sure, and very much the French culture in the French speaking part. So, you know, you've got sort of three different cultures in one country, really. I quite like it.
So what has taken you there? Is this just, you know, a pin in a map, sort of let me go and review this place? Is there something specifically you've gone over to see?
Yeah, the New Brunswick Tourist Board have really pushing to try and open it up as a vacation destination, because a lot of people may go to Montreal or Quebec, and you know, if you go to Canada, the provinces, the Maritimes, and particularly the, you know, New Brunswick, is it doesn't have a lot of tourism, and they're really looking to try and push tourism. So they've got a lot to offer, and it's, you know, the Bay of Fundy is extraordinary, and they've got these beautiful islands. I mean, the islands themselves, like Deer Island, Grand Manan, which I've been on, and Campo Bello, where the Roosevelt House is. You know, these are lovely islands, and they're not that big, and you know, you just get this island culture. It's really lovely. And so I've been experimenting, looking, taking the ferries across to the islands, and just exploring a bit of island life. And now I'm on back on the mainland for the next 4 nights as well.
I mean, what's life? I mean, now here's a silly question, really. I should know better than doing this, but I'm going to ask you: when you see you go on that, you hop on the sort of the water taxis, the water ferries, and you get over, and you're sampling island life. Now I'm in my mind seeing, you know, a very basic existence where it is man against fish to get food on the plate, and this is when you tell me that, you know, it's the only hardship is slightly less than super fast broadband. I mean, what is it like on the islands?
Well, you know, you're right. I was expecting just that. I thought, you know, what is it going to be like? And the first thing I got to, I went to my inn. You know, they have these lovely sort of quaint clapboard houses, and, you know, it's all very turn of the century. It looks lovely. And this lady who's the innkeeper, she just posted a note on the front of the door that said, "Hi, Andy, can't be with you because I'm off shopping in the mainland. But, you know, you're in room number one. Go up there. Keys up there. Help yourself. Welcome. See you later."
Wow.
And I just walked in, walked up the stairs, and there, you know, the room was there. So they don't have locks on the doors, and it's all, you know, it's just everybody knows everybody.
Oh, it's like Britain in the 50s.
I mean, well, yeah, what can you say, eh? It's lovely, very friendly, and everybody knows everyone. You know, and it made me feel very, very much at home. I thought it was great. And then, obviously, going on the Bay of Fundy was something else. I mean, this thing is quite something. I actually wore a skirt yesterday. I'm not shy.
Listen, I'm all for authentic self-revelation, so go right ahead, Andy.
I'm proud, but I'm going to admit to it. Yes, sir, wear a skirt. I did a bit of kayaking. I don't know if you've ever been in a kayak, sir.
No, it's not something I've ever had the pleasure of doing.
Well, you have to wear a skirt, my friend.
Is this so that it kind of covers the old, yes, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It goes over it, yeah. Wow. And it's all a bit technical because you've got pedals for the rudder, and, you know, the oars are all kind of, you know, they've got to be the right way round, and it's all a bit, you know, it's all a bit complicated. But I went out with this guy, Butch, who's a real kind of, you know, he's a bit of a hippie, but he's terrific. He takes people doing kayaking in summers and then spends the winters in Costa Rica doing the same thing. So, you know, he takes...
Oh, what a life.
Yeah, right. It's a good stuff, isn't it?
We'd all want to be a hippie called Butch who did that for a living, wouldn't we?
But he was like, he took us all out. There was six of us in these kayaks, and went out, and very, very interesting. Great stuff. And we came across a pack of porpoises, or is it porpoise? I don't know. I don't know what the word is for multi-porpoises.
Yeah, porpoises, right. Now, were you concerned at the sight of the porpoises?
No. Well, do you know the difference between a porpoise and a dolphin?
Not spelling?
They're just smaller. They're just smaller and a little bit shyer, but they all came around the kayaks, and they were lovely, you know, and it was like calm, right up close to nature. It's fantastic.
And this is on the Bay of Fundy, right?
Yeah, it's on the Bay of Fundy, yeah. And tomorrow I'm going whale watching, going in a tall ship, one of those big tall ships, with a guy called Mackie Green. Apparently he's a bit of a local legend. And he's with the whale rescue team here, and we've got humpbacks and minkies, and he's going to take me out whale watching, and I reckon we're going to get close up and personal with a humpback.
Oh, wow. And this is a proper big nature. Do you know what I mean? Wild, yeah. Big nature.
I know. I'm thinking this could be – who was that? Who was the captain of Jaws? You remember the guy on the boat?
Quint.
Quint. Was it Quint?
Quint. Yeah. Quint. Just thinking, with the T at the end. You're going to be Quint, are you?
Mika Mackey is. I don't know what he looks like, but I reckon he's going to be like a real sea dog. What do you reckon?
That makes you Richard Dreyfuss.
I could be, couldn't I?
Now, we can't do Where in the World is Andy Mossack without talking about the food, the grub.
Oh, yeah.
So now, here we are looking at it. It's Canada. It's got the French influence. Yeah. It's got English and Scottish influence. What is the snap like? What you been filling up on?
Oh, man. Very cheap lobster by the bucket load.
Cool.
Lots of seafood, obviously.
Yeah.
Very, very fresh Wild Atlantic smoked salmon by the bucket load.
Oh.
Very cheap, very cheap. Fish and chips goes down here really well. The English influence, obviously. Yeah. And they do a thing called dulse, which is D-U-L, I think it's S-E.
Dulse.
And it's edible seaweed, which they kind of, they dry up and it turns into crisps. And they put it in food as well. And also large dollops of maple syrup, naturally.
Oh,
of course.
You got me.
I know. But the other thing is, I am actually going to experience, I hope, this ocean floor Friday, tomorrow, on Minister's Island, which is another very small island. It used to be the rail baron, Sir William Van Horn. It used to be his summer home, and you can walk across, or you can ride a bike across, or you can actually drive across at low tide. And but you've got to make sure you come back before it comes back in again. So that's the real side of the Bay of Fundy. When it goes out, this particular island, you can access it by foot. Wow. So I reckon that's going to do it. And they reckon, you know, I don't know if it's true, but they say to me, the Bay of Fundy tide is so powerful that they're looking at whether they can harness it as an energy source to create alternative power.
But I mean, Canada is fairly forward looking in this kind of way. I would have thought they'd have already, you know, already got that sorted by now.
I don't know. I think there's so many things you have to do, don't you, to sort of get the approval. But I think it's close to becoming reality, I think. And, you know, isn't nature amazing to have that kind of power? It's incredible, isn't it?
In terms of getting there as well, I must admit, I've flown over Halifax, Nova Scotia quite a few times going into the States. I've seen it sort of turn up on those little maps that are on the tellies on the back of airplane seats. So I've seen it there. In terms of actually getting there, do you have to fly into, like, Quebec and then take an internal flight? What about getting there?
Well, did you know it's only 5.5 hours from Britain?
Is it really that close?
Very close, yeah. It's much nearer than you think. So, I took Air Canada 5.5 hours to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and then a quick 12-seater jump across to St. John, which is the sort of nearest, I suppose, to the eastern seaboard of New Brunswick. And St. John's just a shipbuilding town. And now I'm driving down the coast, so it's really lovely. Yeah, it's not very long at all, and it's 4 hours as well. So it's, you know, back. So it's not like a big load of jet lag, you know.
Okay.
So it's quite lovely. Very nice.
I'm glad you're having an absolutely ace time, and you take it steady when you're trying to get across the Bay of Fundy, and enjoy the rest of your time there in Canada. Nice to talk to you, Andy, as always.
I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Brilliant. Do you know what? I would have done Twin Towns, but I can't find any.
No.
Yeah, can't find. Not even Halifax in Yorkshire with Halifax, Nova Scotia. Not even that.
Can I give you one quick fact?
Go on.
Have I got time?
Oh, yeah, you got time.
All right, this is a fact. Where I am in the Algonquin resort, right, this apparently was where Stephen King had the inspiration for The Shining. Here's Johnny.
In that where you are now?
Yeah. It's a sprawling old Victorian hotel resort type thing. And apparently Stephen King stayed here and started writing the book.
Well, you stay away from typewriters, Andy.
Yeah, I might get the inspiration. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you might do. You take it steady. Lovely to talk to you. There's Andy Mossack. The place inspired The Shining. It's 5 hours away. I would never have thought that at all. Hey, listen, thank you for your help too. helping to track him down the Bay of Fundy. Thanks to Dale in Batley, who sent me a couple of videos on a well-known video sharing website with the time-lapse videos of the Bay of Fundy. We'll have a look at them and we'll maybe share one on the Facebook page. But at the end of the fortnight, he'll be out and about somewhere else, the other side of the world, perhaps. Who knows?